said he's going to be running late. So that's where Mo is. He's running late. 3:41, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, it's only 10:26. You can give everybody a couple more minutes.
Well, no, that one's behind.
Oh, okay.
It's 10:29. It's 10:30.
Okay, all right.
We, Lucy, when I say, when I give the first hand, will you press start streaming? Says Brother Heath disappeared also now?
Yeah.
I think he said it's streaming.
Huh?
I think he said it's streaming now.
I'll go check.
Okay.
It's just either start or stop. All right, well, let's turn our handles over to page 341.
It's on.
Great, I just threw Brother Heath under the bus. There you go.
Online.
That's what we do online. Let's go to 341. It's been that kind of morning, so. I think all the bulletins are in the back, but Brother Gentry, do you mind grabbing some bulletins? If you don't have a bulletin, just raise your hand and Brother Gentry will get you a bulletin. Brother Gentry is the young kid who's almost as tall as I am, so you can't miss him. But today is July 27th, 2025. Welcome to Springcrest Baptist Church. Right there on the left, we have the service times. Service Sunday morning, 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening or afternoon, 4:30 p.m. Wednesday service is 5:30 p.m. And then we have our Sunday soul winning time, 2 p.m. And then we have the memory chapter, which is Hebrews 1, and we're on verse number 2. Now, I know for a fact my son quoted the verse to Pastor Cobb and Sister Linda. So afterwards, if he wants, he can have an ice cream. But if any of the other kids quote the verse to somebody that's a non-family member, the reward is an ice cream, as long as the parents are okay with it. But the verse we have for today is hath, in verse number 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. And that's a great verse, right? I mean, that proves that Jesus Christ made the entire world. So, because this is speaking of Jesus Christ. Souls won to date, we have 164 souls.
Amen.
For the year. And so it's been going well. And we have a, just so you guys know, just put in your calendars, probably the third week of every month. We for sure do have a soul winning marathon every month. What we don't have is other events, but I'll bring those up. So if you look right there, we have all the birthdays. Aubrey's birthday was yesterday. Today is my daughter, Lucy. Tomorrow is Victor and Kevin. And then right there, we have upcoming events for Springcrest. On August 22nd, I just ironed the details out on Wednesday, we have Pastor Stephen Anderson from Faithful Word Baptist Church coming to preach for us that Friday night. So, you know, make sure we get the word out and just pass the word along. What we'll probably do, I haven't worked out those details. Once he gives me his itinerary, then we'll figure out when we should have. I know people like to hang out. We'll either do something before or after, depending on that. And I think I'm shooting for the time of 7 p.m., but I mean, like I said, I'll get those details to you as we get closer to the event. And then August 23rd, we have the Soul Winning Marathon. I don't know why I forgot the H there, but it's probably because I was thinking in Spanish. I don't know. So August 23rd, the next day, that Saturday, we have a Soul Winning Marathon. Of course, we have church on the 24th. And then we have other events coming up. We have the Men's Retreat with Steadfast, August 14th through the 16th. The Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship, August 27th through the 31st. And then just by happenstance, I'm preaching both a Spanish service that Sunday morning and then an evening service that same Sunday. And then right there, we have the Mexico City Soul Winning Missions Trip, September 8th through the 12th. I know there's actually a couple guys from our church that are looking to either be there or go. So just pray for that. As a matter of fact, I hadn't announced it, but this Thursday we'll be reigniting, that's the word I was looking for, the podcast that I used to have, a Spanish podcast a couple of years ago, where we were talking about just doctrine, and Brother Diego, who's actually leading the charge on behalf of Steadfast, and he preaches regularly in Spanish, will be joining me for that podcast on Thursday, so check that out. And then we have the prayer requests there in the back. We've got a couple that have been added, so just pray for everybody there. I know Sister Millie, I don't remember, my days are all up in the air, but I think it was this week, either this week or last week, she went to get more shots. So just check in on her for her back pain. And I've had back pain, so I know that's pretty serious. Other than that, a couple of things. I see Sister Sylvia here, and she did quote the last chapter. And so I want to go ahead and I'm just going to come and hand that to you. I have two more. My kids did do it. I wish other kids would do it and just jump in. They're not getting as big a gift card as the adults, because there's no need for kids to have that much money. But I have those here for them. And if anybody quotes it to an adult, you know, we can do that. I just want you guys to learn it. So if somebody quotes Psalm 23 to an adult, and your kids do it, even after I don't have that timeline. As long as it's done and it's legit, I'll get you guys a reward. So I'm not concerned about that. The gift cards offer for the adults are $25, and for the children, $10. I figured, I know inflation's gone up, but I still think you can get a nice toy for $10. If you can't, then I don't know what's going on. And then the only other thing, I just don't want to forget, Lucy, if you want to stand up, we'll all sing happy birthday to my daughter. I forget a lot, but if I forget my own daughter, this is, I'm just in heat. But everybody's saying happy birthday on the first. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. And then if you'll turn your... Oh, and then the other thing... I'm telling you. We have Brother James visiting us. Brother James is a missionary to the Philippines, so he spends most of the year in the Philippines. And on Wednesday, he came in to visit. He's like a regular member of United States churches. That's the best way I can do it, because his job makes him travel everywhere. So just that wherever he's at, he's going to a church there. So like if he's in Dallas, or in the Dallas area, he's going to like Steadfast. If he says he has family in Oklahoma, he's going to be at at Anchor Baptist, so different things. But I've known him for a while now, and we were talking on Wednesday after dinner, and he was just telling me about all his wonderful experiences. The soul winning over there is just totally different than what we experience here. And I said, you know, why don't you preach for us? So he's going to preach the morning service for us and just bring a good word about his experiences and or whatever the Lord laid on him. I didn't tell him he had to preach on anything specific. I mean, obviously, no heresy, or we'll kick him. But turn over to, what is it, 167?
Wait.
Or no, 270, I'm sorry.
269.
269?
Yeah, because that's a different...
Oh, 269. Okay, yeah, let's turn over to 269. And we do also have one more for Sister Sheena, but she's not here today. So if she doesn't, we'll get it to her somehow. Turn your, is it with 139?
Yeah.
Turn your binders to Psalm 139, and we're singing the latter part of that psalm. So if you don't have a binder, you can just open to Psalm 139, and we will be there in that last part. I've never really sang this from the congregational. I've never led it, so you guys are just going to have to bear with me. This was, you know, this was Mo's idea, which is a great idea. Just I'm not necessarily the one that's familiar with all these, so...
Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate me.
putrid. I count them. Probably one of my favorite psalms, just in general. And then if you guys will turn over to James 1, and we'll have the reading of the word, and I'll have Brother Trey take up the tithes and the offerings. James 1, and Brother James, if you want, you can actually just put this on already, just clip it. James 1, the Bible says there, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he begat us, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness of the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed. And if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows and their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord. Thank you that we have a visitor that has done so much soul winning and just is able to just spend the time redeeming the time. For those of us who got saved as adults, we know what that's like. Lord, thank you for all those here in attendance, and just give Brother James the words to thunder through, and to bring us a message that will edify and reprove and rebuke us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm just going to press record.
Is it on mute?
No. That's good.
All right.
Let me put it wherever you want or in your side pocket.
All right. Hello, everybody. Those of you that don't know me, my name is James Perry, and a little bit about me is I did get saved later in life, as Pastor Reyes was talking about, and so it took me a little bit longer than some people, but I really just want to thank God for His mercy, His grace, and how kind He's been to me. He's allowed me to do some good works for Him, and like he said, I've been over in the Philippines. And I kind of just decided to go over there and spend more time over there after Pastor Jonathan Shelley from Steadfast Baptist Church up in North Texas in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. He invited me on a trip up there, and I saw how receptive it was in the Philippines. And so I had decided to just spend my own time and my own money to just live there kind of on and off. And I travel back and forth. So I've been over there for a year and a half or so. And so, I guess first of all, you know, that's a little bit about me, but, I was going to Pure Words Baptist Church here in Houston. So that's how I've kind of got some ties here. And in 2023, it was probably my best year in church at Pure Words Baptist Church. It was such a fond year. And that kind of went away, and I went to the Philippines. And so I still have a house here in Richmond. I still kind of have a little bit of my feet are still here. But a lot of times, like Pastor was saying, I go up to Dallas-Fort Worth. I go up to OKC, Anchor Baptist Church up there, where I grew up around Oklahoma City, between Oklahoma City and Stillwater. And so that's a little bit about me. I want to thank Pastor Cobb and Pastor Reyes for allowing me to preach this morning and just talking a little bit with Pastor Cobb this morning. 48 years of this church. I mean, that is a great thing. That not a lot of people can say that. And, you know, what it tells me is that he loves the truth. You know, this church wouldn't be around if he didn't love the truth. And so a lot of the great men of God that I have in my life, I notice that about them. They love the truth. And so, I just, again, I wanted to say thank you. Thank you very much for letting me be here. And so we'll just get started. If you guys would, please head to Revelation chapter 20 in verse 3. Revelation 20, verse 3. And so, in Revelation 23, it says, "And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." And so, what I want to focus on this verse, and before I get you the title, I'm going to have a little bit of an intro, but I want to focus on this verse that he had deceived the nations. Satan had deceived the nations. That's the point. That's his whole job, is deceiving the nations. So that's what Satan is doing. He wants to take as many people to hell with him as possible. And, you know, how has he deceived the nations? It's with lies. If you go down to, I'm going to read from John 8:44. It says, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So, the Satan, his job is to deceive the nations, to take as many people to hell as possible. And he does that by attacking the truth. And how does he attack the truth? It's always through lies. Like, look at the world today. The world has no truth. The world can't even define what a woman is, right? You hear that all the time. It's like people are debating on what a woman is or who should use the men's room or the women's room. This world has been deceived. You know, Pastor Shelley, the Sodomite deception. It's a great documentary about how people have been deceived about the reprobate doctrine. Yeah. And so, you know, this world, it doesn't have any truth. It's been deceived. Like countries like India, think about that. If you don't love the truth, if your country, your nation does not love the truth, then it's a nation like India that has like Hinduism, that totally shuns God, that doesn't care about God's truth, that doesn't lift up the name of Jesus Christ, has nothing to do with it. India is one of the worst countries in this world. Right. It has been labeled the murder capital of the world, the rape capital of the world. You know, it's a horrible, wicked country. Why? Because it doesn't have God. Right. Because it does not love the truth. And you can look at any country like that. You can look at any place on this map, on the world, and the places that don't have the truth, that don't preach the gospel, that don't have a reverence for Jesus Christ, they are the worst places in this world. And you just take a pick of any of them, any communist nation, like North Korea, China, Japan, they love Shintoism there. That's like 80% of the people, and they have no regard for Jesus Christ. And so these are the worst places in the world. And unfortunately, you know, this nation, it was built on the truth of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This nation was built on truth, on the Bible. And so this nation has done very well because of that, but it's in a steady decline because it's getting further and further and further away from the truth. It's being deceived. And Satan has done a great job in deceiving the leadership of this nation. And really, the biggest leadership that determines where a nation goes is good pastors. And when pastors get away from the truth, preaching the truth, like the reprobate doctrine, like other doctrines in the Bible, then, you know, God looks at that nation as a nation that does not care about the truth. And so, you know, the whole point of him, of Satan, is to deceive the nations. It says, be sober and vigilant, because the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about, seeking whom he may devour. And so Satan does a really good job of figuring out, how can I deceive people? How can I deceive the politicians, the so-called pastors out there, the false prophets? How can I get people to start believing lies and not the truth? And that's the whole point of his existence. If you would, please go to 2 Peter 2:1. And so, you know, loving the truth is very important. And I don't know how you get somebody to love the truth in their heart, but hopefully with a lot of the stuff that we see in the Bible here in this sermon, it will help you understand that we all must be diligent and we all must love the truth. And so in 2 Peter 2:1, before we read that, I do want to read 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So, you know, the enemy, Satan, he has deceived people. And then really they're children of the devil is what they are. They're false prophets. And then they're deceiving the multitudes. So he's just using these false prophets. But look at 2 Peter 2:1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So the Bible is clear about we're going to have false teachers creep in privily. We're going to have people that want to infiltrate the church. Look at the Southern Baptist churches. The Southern Baptist Convention is teaching repent of your sins to be saved. Who would ever have guessed that? How did that happen? Well, because Satan is trying to deceive the nations, and this is the nation that is number one on his target, because this is one of the strongest Christian nations in the last several hundred years.
Right.
So what he's done is he has infiltrated, he has sent his children, the children of the devil, these reprobates that hate God, and they have masked themselves as wolves in sheep's clothing, and they've gotten into good Baptist churches or just started churches and slapped Baptist on the name and are teaching false doctrines.
Yep.
And so these minions that work for Satan, they attack the truth. That's why the truth is so important. That's why we should take great care in discovering the truth, keeping the truth, holding on to that truth, and passing that down to our children. And so, you know, somebody that just died that's a false prophet is John MacArthur. And a lot of people were vexed and confused by him, a lot of saved people. Because he did say a lot of right things, but here's the problem with these false prophets is they also mix in lies. And so when you're listening to this person and they say faith alone, once saved, always saved, and then in another part they say something different than that, that you do have to do it by works, you know, that is a false prophet. That person hates God in their heart. We should not listen to them. We should understand that they don't love the truth.
Right.
And so there's more than John MacArthur. There's so many in Texas. Kenneth Copeland, there's so many false prophets out there. And we really should be guarding our ears and our family on what we let go inside. And so there's a lot of stuff on internet, you know, on social media that we should not be listening to. And a lot of people, especially those that really don't go to church, they don't really have that love for church. They are saved, but they are listening to garbage. And it will affect their life. Yeah, they're going to heaven. You know, we're all that have believed on Jesus, we're all going to heaven. But while we're here in this life, the truth is something that we should be guarding, we should be finding, and we should be keeping inside of ourselves for us and our families.
Amen.
So you have to be careful what you listen to. And if you're not sure what I need to be listening to, this sounds good, but I'm not quite sure, you know, dig into it deeper. Try to find, you know, more content on what that person is saying, or come and just ask your pastor, hey, what do you think about this person? In the Philippines, there's this one convert. He got saved. He started coming to church. He got baptized. A few days later, he wins somebody to Christ. And the guy is doing a lot of good stuff, and he loves the truth. And it's evident by what he's doing. But he comes to me one day, and he says, what do you think of Billy Graham? Like, he's a good one, right? Because his family, you know, was listening to Billy Graham, knows Billy Graham, and so they'd been talking about it. And I said, well, no, he's a false prophet. He's burning in hell. And he's like, well, he preached once saved, always saved. He preached faith alone. I said, yeah, those words came out of his mouth a lot. But also, he preached that if you had any light, if you had anything, any name you could call on, that would take you to heaven. And so, you know, he did say a lot of right things, but he spoke to damnable heresy, and that makes him a false prophet. You can't say out of one side of your mouth, faith alone, once saved, always saved, and the other side, but you have to repent of your sins. But if you really are saved, you'll do the works. That's like a backdoor way into work salvation, and it's lies. And that's what Satan does, is he attacks the truth with lies, just like he started in the Garden of Eden. He said, thou shalt not surely die. And that was a lie. And what did he do? He used the Bible, the Word of God. He used the truth and twisted it, and he made it something that it's not, and that's how deceptive these people are. And so his children, the children of the devil, these false prophets, they do exactly what their daddy does, is they take the truth and they twist it, and then they get us off track. They get us confused. They get us vexed. You know, there's a lot of people in this world that they just got saved. They don't know anything about the Bible. They don't know, you know, that a King James Bible is what they should have in their hand. They don't have, you know, maybe the advantage that some people that have been saved and they know a lot of these things. They've been going to church. They've been doing the right things. But not everybody has that. And so, you know, the deception of the devil and his minions, his false prophets, can really affect those new Christians or somebody that got saved early and just never read the Bible, never did anything. And then some people that are in church doing the right thing, these lies, these deceptions can get us off track too, confuse us, vex us. And then the guy that's really advanced, and he has served God with the majority of his life. He may be a pastor even. He may be a deacon. He may be somebody in leadership and has been for years and years. Lies and deception can hurt that person too. We always need to be guarding our heart and loving the truth. And so I want you guys to go to Ephesians 6:11, please. Ephesians 6:11. It says in Ephesians 6:11, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore," I'm sorry, go down to 6:14, verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So, you know, we know that Satan is out to deceive the nations. We know that he has false prophets helping him do that. And what God has said is, look, all these attacks, they're going to hit you. It's never going to stop. It doesn't matter where you're at in life, who you are, how old you are, how young you are, how much knowledge you have of the Bible, how much you don't. You're always going to be attacked, but God is giving us the truth. And the truth will always help us out in all of these attacks. And that really is the sermon title. I should have said it earlier, but the sermon title is Love the Truth. And so the truth is what helps us fight these battles. And if I asked any or everybody in here, do you love the truth? I think all of us is going to put up our hand, right? It's like, yes, I read my Bible. I want to know the truth. I don't want to be deceived. But let's take a look, a closer look at ourselves and see what we find, okay? Where do we find the truth? So we all love the truth. We all want the truth. Where do we find the truth? Obviously, it's right here. God has left us the truth in the Bible. And so God's Word is the truth. If you want to know what God says about something, you open up the Bible and you read it. You know, so, you know, how do we talk to God today? We pray. Amen. We pray and we talk to Him that way. How does He talk to us? He doesn't talk to us with a physical audible voice. You know, maybe to the Pentecostals, you know, a devil talks to them through their ears, but God talks to us through the Bible. So if you want to hear from God, you have to be reading your Bible. Right. This is the truth of God, and which Bible is the right one? Because there's a lot of them out there. So please go to Psalms 12, verse 6, and I will read to you in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth." Psalms 119:142, "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth." Psalms 119:151, "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." And so the Word of God is the truth. This is what we need to battle, what we need to not be deceived. And this, everything hangs on this as far as our life here on earth before we go to heaven. In Psalms 12:6, you know, how do we know that we have the Word of God today? Because in Psalms 12:6, it says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." And look at this. In verse 7, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." So God promised us that He would preserve His Word forever, that we could have His truth so that we don't get deceived. And so it brings to this question, so is any Bible the truth? Is any Bible God's Word? No, it's not. Because if you mix lies into something, it's not true.
Right.
If you add or take away to God's word, it's not true. So how do we know what is the true Bible? What is the version that we should be reading? Well, it's the King James Bible. And I'll, this is the argument I'll make. You know, Satan, he is deceiving and the truth is being attacked. And one way that Satan, he is deceiving the nations, that he is attacking the truth. God said he would preserve his word forever.
Amen.
And God cannot lie. And Satan cannot stop his word. It's preserved forever. So what does Satan do? He comes up with hundreds of other versions from different critical texts that teach lies, that teach false doctrine, that actually change what the Word of God says, what the King James Bible says. Why is it that of all the versions out there, they always alter and change the King James Version, but the King James Version never changes? Why is this the only thing being attacked? This is why. Go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1:18, please. Are you guys there? I want you guys to read this. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
So, why is this important? Because if you look up this verse in the New King James Version, you know what it says? But unto us which are being saved. So, is a person saved, or are they being saved when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, they're saved. There's nobody is being saved. Okay, that is a process of time. That is something that happens over time, is being. But saved with a D on the end right now means you are saved the moment that you believe on Jesus. The NLT, the ESV, the NIV, they all read being saved. I stopped looking up false versions after that. It's just like first four right out of the gate is just telling us lies. So, you know, go to John 5:24. And, you know, the Bible says, in John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen.
So God gives us this example of what being saved is. When somebody is saved, it's instant. It's one time because it's forever.
Amen.
You only get saved one time. Because it's forever. You can't get saved over and over and over. You're not getting saved over a process of time. It takes one instance of somebody that puts all of their faith and their trust on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection and understands that it's forever. That person is saved. They will go to heaven whenever they die. This John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It is proof, because we see this example in our own lives. We all have been born into a family. And when you are born into your parents' family, it's instant, it's one time, because it's forever.
Right.
So these false versions that say you're being saved, that you're not born instantly into the family of God once you believe, you know why they're saying that? Because they teach that you have to do works to go to heaven. And if you have to do works to go to heaven, then yeah, I can see why they would say it's being saved, but you don't have to do works to go to heaven. The Bible says not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that, you know, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the works of the law. The Bible says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So all through the Bible, you know, it's not a process. It's not works. It's just faith. It's instant and it's one time. You are not being saved. You are saved when you believe on Jesus. That is a major, major, major damnable heresy out of these false versions. That's a big deal. So anybody that has a Bible that is not King James, I would just throw it in the trash. Don't let somebody get a hold of that thing. It's a bunch of lies. Satan is trying to deceive the nations. He's trying to take us all down, and he cannot stop the Word of God. So he just convolutes it as much as he can with all these false versions. If somebody gets saved and they don't have a good church they're going to or a friend to guide them, I talk to a lot of people in the Philippines, hundreds of people a week. And some of them get saved, some of them don't, and I don't see them again. And what happens when they go to the store and they're looking at all the different Bible versions and they're just like, somebody told me to get the NIV because I can read it easier. They have no idea they're getting themselves into a problem here. And so Satan has done this. These false prophets preach out of these things. And, you know, that's how you can know that somebody doesn't love the truth is these false prophets, they hate the truth. They hate God. And they use these false versions to make their points. And I think even the worst false prophets out there, the ones that are just the most wicked and horrible, are the ones that do use a King James and masquerade behind that and just twist the verses. Now, what's another thing that that Satan does to deceive people and twist the truth and get people to not love the truth? It's infiltrating those churches. And so how do you find a good church? Where can you find a good church? Of all the places in this world that you should be able to find the truth, it should be inside of a church building and a pastor. Right. Unfortunately, the vast majority of pastors are not saved. And the churches are not good, and it is a hellhole. It might as well be a synagogue. And so how do you know how to find a good church? How do you know if you're in a good church? Well, I'm going to give you a few things that this is what I use. And, you know, I was taught and trained these principles, and I love it because all of these things support loving the truth. So this is how you know that you're in a good church. Do they have the right gospel? I mean, that's number one. If they don't have the right gospel, if they tell you that you're being saved, that you have to do works, that you have to repent of your sins, which, you know, repent of your sins is works. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. That is repenting of sin. That is a work, God says right there. And so if I go to a new church, I talk to the pastor and I ask them, hey, you know, what do you believe on how to go to heaven? And a lot of times I'll get right answers. And I just assume that that person is saved until I hear them say some damnable heresy. A lot of times I get wrong answers. I've talked to pastors before and they're just like, I don't know about eternal security. I've never really thought about it. And I'm like, oh, wow. You know, I try to just show them gently. Okay. I'm not trying to be rude to them or mistreat them. I just, hey, here's what eternal security is. And, you know, at that point I just call them a false prophet and get out of there.
Right.
And so, you know, how do you know if you're in a good church? What do they preach on the gospel? Do you go to a church and it's like they're really vague on the preaching and the gospel? Like you walk out and you're like, what was his point? What was he trying to say in that sermon? You know, that's usually not a good sign. Okay. The truth is very obvious. Okay. And if somebody is preaching a different gospel, that is a false prophet. Get out of that church immediately. thank God with so much respect to God that we have for Spring Crest Baptist Church. Because talking to Pastor earlier, for 48 years he's been preaching the truth.
Amen.
Why do you think Spring Crest is here after all of these years? Because they love the truth. They hate the lies. They've been preaching against the lies. They've been telling the truth. They've been telling people how to go to heaven, what the Bible says. So I'm very happy that Spring Crest is here, that I'm able to come here when I'm in the Houston area. And I thank God for this church. What's another thing that we can use to test a church to see where they're at? Is this a good church? Do they use a King James Bible?
That's right.
Not just the pastor, but does the pastor tell the congregation, don't bring in another Bible? You bring in a King James Bible only. We're not reading out of anything else.
Right.
That's a good church. Okay? That is a pastor that loves his flock. If a pastor is like, hey, I'm King James only because it's the truth, but you guys can bring whatever you want, that tells me the pastor doesn't really love them. The pastor is okay with them believing lies. So, you know, that's one way you can find out, are you in a good church? Am I visiting a good church? Is, do they use a King James Bible? Does the pastor make the congregation use a King James Bible? The last thing that I use to kind of as a litmus test, does this church preach the gospel?
Right.
Because there's a lot of churches out there that they are right on salvation. They use a King James Bible, but they don't do soul winning. And, you know, the Bible says in Revelations 2 that if you don't do the first works, the first love, then God will take the candle away from that church. And so a church can be, the building's there, the pastor's there, he's saved, he's using a King James Bible, but God's not really looking at that like it's a church getting any works done. And so if I'm going to go to a church, I want to go to a church where soul winning is important, where keeping that candlestick that lit up with that candle is important to the pastor. And so I'm very, very happy again with Spring Crest Baptist Church, because how many salvations do we have now? Almost 200 salvations for the year. That is amazing.
Amen.
A lot of churches don't get that in their lifetime because they're not going out and doing the first works. And so, you know, the truth says, have the right gospel. The truth says be King James only. The truth says go out and you know, preach the gospel, get other people saved. And so that's how you can know for sure that you're in a good church. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2. Why should we love the truth? It kind of sounds like a silly question. But we're still trying to answer that first question. You know, if I said, hey, who here loves the truth? We would all put up our hand. So why should we love the truth? And 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Amen.
And those of you that are parents, you love it. You love it when you tell your child what to do and they do it. And they're, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And they went and took out the trash without even having to be told. I don't know why that brings such joy in your heart when your children just do the right thing, but it does the same thing for God. That father-son relationship, that image or that example can show us so many things. And this is one thing, is that it brings God joy when his children walk in truth. Think about that. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, you can bring him joy by walking in the truth.
Amen.
By loving the truth. So what are the benefits of walking in the truth? Because, yeah, we want to bring God joy. We want to love the truth just for no other reason than just God said so. He just says, do this, don't do that. It's our reasonable service just to follow the commandments and do what we're doing. But this is God we're talking about. He always puts a little extra on it. All right, he saves you for free, but if you go out and do the works, you get rewards in heaven. So he pays you for the works, which again proves that going to heaven is free. Because if you do the work, you get paid. The salvation is the free part. It's the gift. So in Proverbs 1:2, what do you get? What are the benefits, the extra stuff that God just blesses you with because you love the truth? It says in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to know what to do. That's very helpful in your life, knowing what to do, because all of the lies and deception that's out there. To perceive the words of understanding, to have discernment. Okay, so it's nice to be able to look at a situation and say, hey, this is not a person I want to be around. I don't like this guy. He's doing a lot of weird stuff. Maybe he's on drugs or this or that. You should have the discernment to say, this is a bad guy I don't want to be around. Yeah, I can preach him the gospel, but this is not somebody that I want to be friends with. That's called discernment. You can perceive the words of understanding. In verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. So someone that loves the truth, they love wisdom, they love justice, they love judgment and equity, fairness. So this guy, you know, they're not going to be cheating people. They love when things are fair, and they're going to be for the death penalty because they love justice. Right. And the Bible says, if you murder somebody, you should be murdered. If you commit adultery, you should be, or if you commit murder, you should be executed by the government. If you commit adultery, you should be executed by the government.
Right.
And so another deception that the devil has done is he's gotten our country away from the death penalty, away from the truth, the word of God. And so verse number 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So we all start out simple, like we're just little kids and we grow up. But even a young person can know how to behave himself. How? By knowing the truth, the word of God. By at a young age getting into the word of God. By having a parent that teaches them that. And, you know, a lot of us didn't get that good example, but some of us have. And so it doesn't matter how young you are, like all the younger people in here, it doesn't matter how young you are. We have a birthday today, a 9-year-old. It doesn't even matter that if you're 9 years old, you still can know how to behave yourself and walk in wisdom. Yeah. And so that's what the truth will do for you. These are kind of just benefits of loving the truth. Verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So a man can always increase his understanding. You know, it doesn't matter how old you get. If you're 100 years old, you can increase your understanding. How? With the truth, the word of God. And that should be something that we should all be doing every day for the rest of our lives. I love it when I hear that this church has been here for 48 years and Pastor Cobb has been pastoring for how long?
48.
48 here? Yeah. And so to me, that I love that he has, it's the longevity. It's increasing his understanding all of these years, keeping things on the side of truth. Verse number 6, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. So those that love the truth, they get a deeper understanding of the truth. Those parables that are kind of like, man, what does that mean? Or some dark saying where you're just like, you know, I know the Bible's true. I don't quite understand this verse. I'm just going to study this or get some help till I understand it. Well, loving the truth and searching for it like that, you'll get a deeper understanding. You'll get more truth. You'll have more discernment, more wisdom, and this will just layer and layer and layer upon you your entire life. So these are things that happen whenever we love the truth. Now, there's a flip side to this too, because, you know, God says to follow my commandments. But if we don't, what happens? Well, in verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So we do need to fear the Lord in the sense of just like we fear our parents when we disobey our parents. You know, God loves us, but he will chastise those that are his sons. And so we should fear his chastisement. That should motivate us to love the truth. It says in the last half of that verse, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what are the consequences of hating the truth? You know, we want to love the truth. We all would raise up our hand and say, I love the truth. But do we really? Proverbs chapter 1, move down to verse 25. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. Right. I will mock when your fear cometh. Wow. What about all those churches that preach this deceiving lie that God is all love, and he's not mad at you? You know, go sin all you want. He's not mad at you. That's a lie. It says right here, God will laugh at your calamity when you don't listen to him. When you don't love the truth, he will mock when your fear cometh. He'll just be like, ha, I told you so.
Right.
That's what this is saying.
Yep.
So why should we fear God? Because he will chastise us. Yeah, we're going to heaven, but he will get punished on this earth. In verse 27, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer.
Right.
They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. This is God Almighty talking to his child that he loves, that will not listen to him, that will not love the truth, but has spurned his reproof, spurned his correction, doesn't want to listen. This is what happens. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices.
Right.
So how do we fail in this life? How do we succumb to these deceptions that the enemy is sending towards us and infiltrating our lives with? We fail by hating the truth. That's the problem, is that we're sinners. We are deceiving ourselves when we refuse to walk in the truth. And this is the big thing, is yeah, Satan, his job is to deceive the nations. He's doing a great job. And he has false prophets out there helping him, and they're infiltrating into the churches, even good churches. They're causing church splits. They're doing all these things. But here's the biggest thing with deception and being deceived. Go to James 1:22. As you're going there, let's just recap real quick. Again, Satan's deceiving the nations, taking people to hell. His God-hating children, the false prophets, are bringing damnable heresies into the church, sneaking in privily. You know, a new or old Christian not in church, not reading the Bible, not praying, it's easy for the enemy to deceive them. Why? Because they're just not loving the truth. They're not getting the truth in themselves. And so it's really easy for the world to deceive them. A new Christian starting to learn the Bible, trying to find a good church, loves the truth. You know, a false prophet can deceive them and kind of stunt their growth, get them off track, because they're just not learned yet. And they're trying, they're seeking after the truth, but it will slow us down if we get a little discouraged, because as a new believer, you know, we don't really understand things yet. We don't understand how everything is, how everything works. But A person that's taking the Christian life more seriously, they're like three to thrive, they read their Bible every day, they pray, they're, you know, going out soul winning, they're doing all of these great things, they're loving the truth, they're doing a lot of good things. Even that person can be deceived. And even that person can get off track, and it can totally destroy their life, even though they're this great Christian. And so how does that happen? Well, let's read together James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So we can even deceive ourselves. It's bad enough that Satan is trying to deceive us. It's bad enough that his minions, these false prophets, are trying to deceive us, but we can even deceive ourselves.
Right.
So this Christian that is doing great, he's been doing great for a long time. What if he gets bitter in his heart towards another Christian? And that bitterness grows and grows and grows. He's deceiving himself by not loving his enemy. He's deceiving himself by not loving the truth. And that can happen. And we've seen it happen. And we don't want that to happen to ourselves. So how do we deal with that? Well, if you get bitterness in your heart towards somebody, you need to stop it immediately. And you need to pray for that person. You need to ask God for help. And just loving that person and doing good unto that person. And, you know, every time a bad thought comes into your mind about that person, you need to just put it down. And don't get bitter in your heart toward. That's just one example. There's just name the sin. And when you deal with that sin, maybe you have a problem with gossip. And if you're around other people that want to gossip, you just have to, you know, move on down the road and say, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear this. Don't let that stuff enter in. Don't let those things deceive you and get you off track. It says to be doers of the word and not hearers only. So I don't care if you've gone to church for 100 years and you've listened to sermon after sermon after sermon and you've just heard all of this great truth. But if you're not doing it, you will get off track.
Right.
You will falter. You will be deceived. Maybe by Satan, maybe by his minions, the false prophets, maybe by yourself, by just not loving the truth. And so, in John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I think we've all heard that one. And 3 John, verse 4, I have no greater joy, than to hear that my children walk in the truth. You know, we all have areas where we're not walking in the truth. Nobody is perfect. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to beat up anybody. And you really, you should be taking stock of yourself and be thinking, you know, where am I faltering? Where am I deceiving myself? Where am I not loving the truth? And so how do we stop deceiving ourselves? What can we do to fix this, to get this taken care of? Let's go to Psalms 119:59. Psalms 119, verse 59. This is how you fix the problems, the self-deception. This is how you fix the lack of love in your heart for the truth. This is how you get through these problems that we all have. It says right here in verse 59, 119:59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. In verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. When you find yourself like getting bitter in your heart, listening to the gossip you don't want to hear, when you have to work on these areas of your life, do it quickly. Do it immediately. Get it fixed immediately. And look, it's not one of those things like it's one and done. You got to carry your cross daily.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to go out and fornicate. I'm not going to go out and be a drunkard. But you know what sin I do deal with sometimes? Pride. And so when I'm dealing with that, I have to like end it immediately. And then the next day, guess what happens? I have to end it immediately. I have to get out of that immediately. If you have something that you deal with all the time, and, you know, this is just the way it goes, is a person sins and they do wrong and they feel bad in their heart. They should feel bad in their heart anyway. And if they haven't hardened their heart and they go to God and they say, I'm sorry, help me, please help me figure this out. I don't want to be like this. And then next week they do it again. And the next week they do it again. And the next week they do it again. This will help with that. as soon as you're dealing with this, immediately stomp it out. Immediately get rid of it. And then next week, when that comes again, you know, it says here, I thought on my ways. This person is not just like drifting through life, not thinking about what they're doing. They're actually taking the care and paying attention to their actions. Does anybody here maybe ever just like at the end of the day, take stock of your day and say, hey, this is where I kind of did some good things. This is where I kind of did some bad things. That's what this is saying. I thought on my ways and I turned my feet. And you know, when feet are mentioned in the Bible, it's a picture of doing. It's a picture of action. And so it's saying that he did something. He turned his feet unto thy testimonies. He loved the truth. He went to the truth. He ran to the truth. So how do we fix ourselves? We have to purposely think about these things where we're getting it wrong, but we have to want to do that. I don't know how to make somebody want to do that. So we need to run to God, be a doer of the word. We need to love the truth, make the correction immediately. You know, if you're not in church, that's a real easy fix. Go find a good church and get into church. You know, if you stop going to church, then you go back to church. That's a real easy fix. These are simple, practical things that we can do to love the truth. You know, forsake not the assembly of ourselves together. That is a commandment. If there's bitterness in your heart, again, you know, don't let those thoughts sit in your mind. Do not get bitter against your brother and pray for that person, love on that person, and do whatever you can to just fight that and just say, you know what? I'm going to do the opposite of what my flesh wants to do. I don't want to get them back. I want to give them a present. I want to talk kindly about them. Even if they're not a nice guy, you just be nice to them. Okay. And so these are practical things that we can do. You know, whatever the issue is that's keeping you from being a doer of the word, that's what we have to focus on. And it's different for everybody, but this will help us do that. So what is the issue that you're focusing on? What is it that you need to focus on? That's your homework assignment from this, from God, is to think about it, take stock, and what do you need to do to turn your feet to those testimonies? So if I have a problem with pride, I need to be memorizing verses about pride. If I have a problem about getting bitter in my heart and I, you know, if somebody does me wrong, oh man, I want to get them back, then I need to get verses memorized about loving my neighbor. And so these are practical things that we can do. And, you know, that's the application, is just to examine yourself, be a doer of the word, ask God for help. Go to Psalm 139:23. We need God's help. You know, everything in our life, it hinges on God. And any time that I'm the happiest in my life, it's because I'm the closest to God. And when I'm not as close to God, I'm not as happy. Everything should hinge on God. And so in Psalm 139:23, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." In 24, "And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So this is a good prayer. This is a good mental thing to have, you know, every day, every time we're dealing with these things, is get on your knees and ask God and just say, hey, you know my heart, you know where I'm at, help me, turn me to your ways. Go to Psalm 119:1. In James 1:5, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So if you need help, you need to ask God. And, you know, in Psalms 119, starting in verse 1, You know, the Bible says that David is a man after God's own heart. And why was David a man after God's own heart? Because David loved the truth.
Right.
You remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba? And the prophet came and said, "Thou art the man." And David just crumbled. You know why? Yeah, he did that wicked sin. And I'm not justifying that. God hated that. But he loved the truth. He turned towards the truth. And so let's just take a look in Psalm 119. It says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." So if you love the truth, you're going to be loving the Lord. It says right here in verse 2, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Verse 3, "They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways." These people love the truth. "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake not me utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Do you see a pattern here? This person loves the truth. King David loved the truth. He wasn't perfect. He's just like us. But he always turned to God. He ran to God. God was his strong tower, his strong right arm. And so that's what we need to do. Is when we're having issues inside, when we're deceiving ourselves, we need to run to God, not from God.
Right.
We need to go to the Word. We need to get on our knees and we need to ask Him for wisdom and how to deal with this. And it's right here. It's inside here somewhere. The answers to all of our life problems are here somewhere. And again, this is why we need to be in a good church. Because in a good church, the pastor is preaching the whole Bible, cover to cover. He's not just focusing on one thing. And he's helping us understand life's issues and how to deal with them. And that's really the job of a pastor. It's his full-time job to be searching the Scriptures daily, just like the rest of us. But he should have more time to do that, to help us accelerate our learning. And that's why this has been a good church, is because the pastor here loves the truth. And the pastor here wants you to love the truth. So he delivers that to you week in and week out. And he spends his time searching the Scriptures, because not all of us have that kind of time that the pastor has. And so don't be deceived. Walk in the truth.
Amen.
With that, we'll just close in prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for your word that is the only truth in this world, that we can lean on it, that we can have it, and it's everything that you want to say to us. It's perfect without error. And thank you so much for Springcrest Baptist Church and the pastor here, Pastor Cobb and Pastor Reyes, and just strengthen these men and keep them safe, protect their families, and help them protect their flock from the deceptions of the devil, the deceptions of false prophets out there, and deceiving ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right, we have one more hymn and we'll close out. Thank you, Brother James.
You're welcome.
You can take it.
Okay.
Turn your hymnals over to page 311. And I did forget one announcement. I just wanted to thank everybody that showed up yesterday for church work day. It was really fruitful, and I really appreciate all the hard work everybody put in. From the adults to the children, everybody really chipped in, so I really appreciate it. I'm not talking to the people who are waiting in front of me. That 311, rescue the parents.